Masechet Baba Metzia, Perek Dalin, Mishnah Tet. Now we'll go back to the laws of Ona'ah that we were saying earlier on in the Perek. We learned that if something is sold for 1/6 above or below its market value, then the person who was taken advantage of, either the buyer or the seller, could demand a refund on the part that was over the market value. Here we'll talk about things that the laws of Ona'ah do not apply to. Mishnah says, Elu devarim she'en lahem Ona'ah. These are the things that are not subject to the halakhot of Ona'ah when they are sold, and therefore a refund is not issued if demanded. Ha'avadim. Kanani slaves. If Kanani slave is sold too high or too low, the party that was taken advantage of cannot demand the refund. V'hashtarot, an IOU document that allows the person who owns the document to collect a debt. Basically, debt that sold could be sold for less or for more. There's no ona'ah in when it comes to that. Hakarkaot, land. Land also could be sold for higher or lower than the market value, more than 1/6. V'hekdeshot, something that belongs to Hekdesh. If the Beit HaMikdash owns something and they want to raise money for the temple treasury and they sell it, also that could be sold for higher or lower than its market value. If a 1/6 difference exists in these items, then the wronged party cannot demand his money back or a refund. We learn that all of these things from the Pisukim, they're Gezerat HaKatuv, and therefore the halakha is like they are. There are other halachot that don't apply to these items that we listed above, which are in lahen tashlume kefil. If they're stolen and the person is found, he doesn't have to pay a double payment when he's returning the item, double the item's amount, he doesn't have to pay it. Velo tashlume al ba'ava hamisha. And if he steals a sheep or an ox and he either stole them or slaughtered them, then he would not have to pay the 4 or 5 times payment on them. Shomer hinam eno nishba, an unpaid shomer who was given one of these items and it was his responsibility to watch it, he would usually have to swear if that it was stolen. Here he does not have to swear uniquely that he wasn't negligent in watching it. Venose sachar eno meshalem, and someone who's a paid shomer who would normally have to pay when something was stolen or lost from him, in this scenario, he would not have to pay. We again learn all this out from the Pisukim themselves. Rabbi Shimon argues on the fact that when we said earlier that Ona'ah doesn't apply to Hekdesh, he makes a distinction and he says that Ona'ah does apply to certain types of Hekdesh. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kodashim Shu Haya Ba'ahrayutan, Yesh lahen ona'ah, says Rabbi Shimon, kodashim, animals that were sanctified to be brought as sacrifices in the Beit HaMikdash, which a person would be responsible for. In other words, that if they're lost, it would be his responsibility to replace it. The laws of ona'ah apply to him, because since he's responsible for it, it's as if it's his property, and therefore he owns it, so therefore wouldn't apply to how the Torah excluded it. The Torah only excluded it if it was property of the Beit HaMikdash. But here, since it's his responsibility to replace it, if it gets lost, it's not considered to be property of the Beit HaMikdash, but property of that person who's sanctifying it, the real owner, and therefore the laws of Ona'ah would apply. V'she'enu haya ba'ahrayutan, en lahen Ona'ah. But if a person would not be responsible to replace the item of if it's lost, the laws of Ona'ah would not apply to him, to this item, because he would not be responsible to replace it if it was lost. Rabbi Yehuda wants to expand on where Ona'ah does not apply. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af hamocher sefer Torah behema umargalit en lahem Ona'ah, says Rabbi Yehuda, even somebody who sells a sefer Torah for a very high price, or an animal for a very high price, or a very low price, either one, umargalit or pearl, the laws of Ona'ah do not apply, because in these unique scenarios, a person would sometimes be willing to pay a very high price for them, way beyond market value. Sefer Torah is priceless. It's a beautiful way to say it. No value could be put onto a Sefer Torah. So therefore, a person would pay anything for it. There's no actual market value for Sefer Torah. And same when it comes to paying a high price for an animal or a pearl. Maybe it goes well with something that he already has. Maybe he has something in his an animal that would fit perfectly with this one in terms of plowing together or matching pearl. Maybe he would need it to be for jewelry. So therefore, there's no ona'ah on these items. Amru lo, hachamim told to Rabbi Yehuda. Lo amru ela et elu. No, hachamim told them, when we knew what items were excluded from ona'ah, Only those four items that we originally stated are those items above that do not have ona'a, which were slaves, shtarot, contracts, karka'ot, land, and hekdesh, sanctified items. So therefore, they said the lists that he tried to expand is not included. They would say that a person could rationalize on any item and say that it pairs well with something that he already has. So therefore, those four that he, those few that Rabbi Yehuda tried to also exclude, it's a slippery slope. You could also include anything else in that as well. So therefore, Hachamim decided not to include what Rabbi Yehuda also tried to say, the laws of Ona'ah do not apply to.